Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you today, sir?
I'm awake.
You're awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
Now, you said while we were playing, for anybody who listens live, we play music before the show.
Yes.
And sometimes you will arrive a little bit early.
Yes.
And
I've been very good early or on time.
I'm not scolding you.
No, I know you're not, but I get a lot of shit from the people.
From the who?
Screw
those people.
Yeah.
The listeners like to give him flack because for a while you were late.
True enough.
You would show up 5-10 minutes late and thus, you know, showing why employment, not your bag.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I can't hold down a part-time job.
But yes, exactly. It's very hard to do. Listen, that is not a slam on you.
Okay.
You know, part-time work isn't for all of us. it's mainly for teenagers and me.
Yeah, right.
Well, sure. It really is. But you said that you were asleep 7 minutes ago, about 10 minutes ago.
That
fair
is
to
true.
Say?
Yeah.
So life is good in the Paco household, or is it because you were tossing and turning up all night? What were you doing, binge-watching Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix? What?
No, I did have a couple of nights where I just had a lot of trouble falling asleep. And then you get into that afternoon nap is a...
Is a
cruel mistress because, you know, then you stay up again and then you get into a bad situation. So as soon as I got her out the door this morning and got Diego his 3 scrambled eggs and 2 slices of cinnamon bread toast, I said, I'm on a dad. He's going to just lie down for a minute.
For a minute. And then,
yeah.
And then a minute turned into what?
No, I knew what I was doing.
Oh, okay. You were well aware.
I did the whole thing and I set several alarms. I would not... And the first
is it really several? You know, you have a hard time getting up or what?
No, I was just worried. I did not want to be late for this. I don't care about being late for anything else, court, whatever.
But this, you have to be on time for.
I got it.
All right. We appreciate it.
I'm a professional now that I'm getting paid.
Now that you're getting paid enough to not even cover your cable bill.
Right.
Fair to say, maybe your gas bill is maybe covered by this very activity.
Maybe.
Well, happy National Chocolate Chip Day, Paco.
Ooh, yes.
Happy National Coast Guard Day. But the one that I think is most important to all of us that I am remiss in not bringing this up earlier is National Night Out Day. So evidently, the first Tuesday in August, nobody knows this, but you're supposed to have a night out. So get the sitters on the horn as if they're not already booked. I mean, I'm sure the media buzz about this holiday.
If you can even get one at this point.
Oh, not
I mean, if
point.
You haven't done it already.
You're hosed. I wanted to go on record, too, and record that our dear Andrew Shively evidently had his daughter. I did not know this.
Had his daughter do what?
Come into this world.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
His daughter climbed out of his lady friend's vagina. As far as I'm aware.
Yes.
I didn't know this. This is what I love about now being me in this thing is that it literally says on the logo, comedian Justin Worsham's The Dad Podcast, right?
Right, yes.
And I have a chat. I pay for all of this shit.
Yes.
And I have people talking like, oh, congrats, Andrew. And I just simply say, oh, did he have his baby?
Yeah.
Nobody answers. People still talking like I'm not even in the room. It's just blah, blah, blah. Like things are coming. And I kind of go, wait, so did he have his baby or not? And then people are like, yes, he had his. But then maybe I'm putting a lot of words in the text. You know, you don't really get subtext in text, ironically. Right. that aren't there, but it feels like a little bit like, well, why don't you, you should, what did they say? Troll your fan page more often were the words that were given to me. And again, not that I am angry.
I understand.
All of this is for show.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that there is a fan page connected to a show that has a Facebook fan page.
Yes.
To me, further implies that what they see our list. Let me explain this to you, Paul.
Please, I'm very confused.
I've now upgraded myself from part-time job person to professional broadcaster.
Oh,
so I wear many hats in my life.
Sure.
Internet celebrity being one of them. Father, husband,
sage.
Sage is a great one.
Yeah,
I went online to the Universal Church to be ordained as a sage. What else do I? I'm a gardener, mechanic.
If you watch
any of my stand up in the last few probably months or 6 months or so, I'm a vaginal barista. I call myself. And now, you know, professional broadcaster. And what I've learned is that when you say too many titles, you forget your original train of thought. That's what I've learned in professional broadcast.
Right, if there's
experience.
One thing you're going to tell us, and
there's
then
one
it's
thing
gone.
I've learned. Right. It is very easy when you are a dumb asshole to lose your train of thought. No, what was I saying is that I can't remember. Moron.
That's funny.
They were a fucking moron. I am. I went down my own rabbit hole of bits and lost it. Oh, I'm so mad at myself. But at the same time, so delighted that the rabbit hole I went down was talking how amazing I am.
Yes, well. So,
now I got it.
Thank you.
Audience of this show,
yes.
Much like a child.
Oh.
You see.
Yeah.
They are in the teenage years of their life, and they're rebelling against daddy.
Oh.
And don't think that I am, it is not lost on me, the idea of the moms on this listen to the show calling me daddy.
Okay.
That is definitely not lost on these two fantastic celebritist ears, if you would.
I understand.
So,
that is not where I thought you were going.
The whole thing I just wanted to say is congratulations to Andrew and his lovely lady, who I don't know. I can only assume, because no one will talk to me in my own damn chat. Room,
right?
That he's in the hospital right now, listening to the guy. I don't. Do you know when the kid arrived?
A couple of hours ago. I mean, that's when
a couple of hours. You know more than me.
That's when I saw the first picture. I think, or it might have been.
Saw you see pictures?
There's a picture.
What the fuck is happening? You see pictures?
I believe there was a picture of.
I really hope he has earbuds because I just yelled, "What the fuck is happening?" in the middle of labor and delivery in some, I'm guessing, Indiana hospital.
Yeah.
Unless he's in Tennessee, like everyone else that listened to the show.
True. It might have been a field.
Okay. I think she's biting on a stick somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some soybeans or corn.
Yeah, corn, I think.
Oh, that's funny. So 2 hours ago, baby was born. Congratulations.
You know, don't hold me to that.
No, don't handle me with mittens. I can hang. If everybody's having their cool kids party, sitting at the nice table in the lunchroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me. Just having nice flashbacks of my younger years. I wasn't always the cool person you see before you today, Paco.
I find that
I struggled much like a Cameron Diaz. I was very awkward and unattractive at a younger age.
A beautiful Latina version of yourself. Yes. Not Gilbert Gottfried, not the struggles he went through,
no,
but the ones
no.
that Cameron Diaz went through.
So Natalie touched on it when we ended up the episode that shall never see the light of day,
yeah.
which I like. I like the hubbub. What I might do if I was a businessman, I might say, listen, you can listen to some garbage if you got $3.
Right. Oh, my God.
I may or may not make $3 off of that because
right.
with as tight as this new community is, they're just going to buy it once and burn it for the rest of the fuckers
right.
or
stream it on their
own MixLR. Channel. I'm not really mad. But anyway, I had two shows recently, so I'm gonna not talk about parenting, shocker. I'm gonna talk a little bit about my life. And what was hilarious about these two shows is the first one,
yeah,
I was supposed to do in Folsom, California, and then this guy calls me and he says, hey, I'm having a party for 40 of my friends, would you like to come to my house?
Oh, right.
And entertain people. And I was like, sure. But I said sure, and I said, but you know, I thought that I would give him a price and he would say no or whatever. And I've talked about, I believe I said it on the show before, is that the guy took, I quoted him the price and then he added $200. And then after the show, he added an additional $300 to that price.
Oh, wow.
Because daddy killed it. And so I get there and it's just people hanging out. He's got this beautiful house. I mean, just huge, beautiful house next to the river. He's got like something like 100 palm trees on his lot of land because his wife likes Hawaii. And
oh, wow.
And just a super, super nice guy. And they're having like, you can get a custom rolled cigar. And then daddy comes on, and then they have dinner for everybody. There was like tri-tip and barbecue chicken, and they had three buffet tables of like cheese and cookies and fruit and all wow. that stuff. And yeah, it was a nice spread. And then afterwards was fire dancing, was after daddy. And so I'm sitting there at a table joking around with them, and I'm working the room, you know what I mean? I'm doing my gig and making people laugh and everything. And yeah. so he gets up and leaves, and then I'm just sitting there with some of his friends, and I said, I think I mentioned this at the episode of Daenerys, that he buried four subwoofers. He buried four subwoofers in his grass, like underneath his backyard,
oh, yeah.
and then has eight satellite speakers. So there's a button that he hits on either his phone or an iPad that runs his entire home entertainment system, and all of a sudden you're at a U2 concert in his backyard. Now, his backyard, his whole lot is huge, but his backyard is probably only, I'm guessing, 30 feet deep. And I say only because if you saw this house, you'd be like, well, you know. But beyond that 30 feet is a drop-off where you go down to, you have your private access to a river.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm thinking of burying a couple of woofers in the yard, by the way.
Right? And it's something wrong with my father and I, but the noise that always makes us laugh is, I think we're born to be serial killers. But anyway, so I'm there at the party, and he's joking around, and then he goes away, and I'm sitting with his friends, and I'm joking. They go, well, how do you know Chuck? Because I found out I was talking to the people who put in his home entertainment center. And this is why I thought it was interesting, is that most of these people work for him in some way, shape, or form. And they said, I said, oh, I'm the comedian for tonight. And one of the gentleman's drunk wives decided that, like, wait a minute. So you're not being friendly with us? You're just, yeah. you're here because you're getting paid to be nice to us. And she was trying to joke, but her drunk brain was also having a hard time wrapping around the concept of like, I just pretty womaned her or something. But right, it's like, right. it was, or not pretty woman, that's a bad example. But you know what I mean? Like, where it's like you find out that this lady who's talking to you, she just wants $60 after you banged her kind of a thing.
Right.
Evidently, I have very cheap ladies of the night. So it got kind of weird at the table. She goes, well, now you have to make us laugh. And I said, lady, I've been making you laugh for the past hour.
Right.
I go, not to mention the fact I'm technically not on the clock. And then she goes, well, he's paying you, isn't he? And I was like, it was very weird. Like,
oh,
I was,
that
yeah,
is
I was,
weird.
And I kind of said, I go, and so she kept like kind of riding me. Like, seriously, she goes, you need to make us laugh. I said, I'll make you laugh when the show comes. And then she goes, well, you're a comedian. You should be able to make me laugh now. I said I was a comedian because that's what it says on my taxes. I never said I was a good one. And then she kind of smiled. I go, see how easy it is? Like, if you just loosen up and have a good time, everybody's going to be just fine. But it got kind of weird. Then I do the show. And the show is, when I first started doing stand-up, like literally the first month, I did a show in somebody's living room, like up in Northern California.
Yeah.
So it's been almost a decade, and I've come full circle. Yeah. But at least I'm playing larger living rooms.
Right.
At least upgraded yeah. the size of the living rooms.
Right.
And so I'm in this.
Craigslist has been good to you,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Those personals can really fill a bank account. So I go in there. And this guy, I didn't notice it till it's time to do the show. He has these ginormous, like 4 foot tall Knight Rider looking speakers that are, I thought he brought in just for me. No, that's what he watches with his TV. I don't know where his TV was, if he does like some kind of Charlie's Angels button push and then the room transforms into a theater or something. I don't know.
He projects the image on the moon.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting there. He got a wireless microphone because he thought I had my own PA system. I told him no. And so I do the show. But in front of me on his coffee table is a 4 foot tall naked woman in a Mardi Gras style costume, like a statue of one.
Okay, I was going to say, was Linda Hunt there?
No. So I'm staring at her thonged ass the entire show, and never in my, like, in stand-up, you'll play comedy clubs where the lights are kind of weird, and there's only one spot, so you kind of, when you kind of step out of light, you realize people can't see you, so you have to be aware of that. I've never, and you try to work the room to kind of look and connect with everybody, is kind of like giving a speech, right?
Sure.
I've never had to have the presence of mind to go, okay, let's go to the other side of the ass, so that... And they're staring at breasts. So I'm competing with, you know, pewter breasts that are exposed to drunk men and women, you know what I mean, in the room. And then behind me, and I commented on it, behind me there's a bust of just a man's torso with genitalia exposed. And I told him, Chuck, this is not cool, man. I go, why you got to put this tiny pecker dude right behind me when I'm trying to tell jokes? because he does online security was right, his thing. I forgot to mention that. I'm telling a horrible story.
That's all right.
The I said he mentioned that he did online security, so I mentioned that and how he found me. I thought he just went to my website. Now, this guy is almost a billionaire, and he does online security.
Is that on his business card?
I hope so.
Almost a billionaire.
That was what one of his friends told me that grew up with him. And so anyway, he says to me, he goes, did you realize how I found you? And he says to me while I'm doing the show, I found out from one of his friends that what he did was he had one of his lackeys, he gave them my name and said and put into like a program or an algorithm, whatever fancy words computer guys use.
Yes.
And sent out every combination of my name that could fit with an email and then got one hit back, which was my actual email.
Oh, wow.
Now, what's crazy is that he has those kind of resources but does not have the presence of mind to go justinworsham.com.
Right.
And you click contact right there, and right. It gives you an email that you can reach. It says to book Justin.
I think it's easier to find you than that. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I thought that was hilarious. And what else happened while we were there? So I kept doing the show, and everything went great. And then I was kind of helping them clean up, and then the fire dancers started, and then I drove home all night. And then this last Friday, I go back up to the same exact area and do a show, and there are chickens everywhere. I don't know if anybody's familiar. Have you ever heard of the Fair Oaks chickens in Northern California?
I have not.
Because evidently the people there think you're an idiot if you don't know. You know, people.
Well, it's like not knowing about Andrew's baby.
You're right, exactly. It is the same exact thing. And so there's chickens everywhere. And so one guy, when he was a kid, that lived in the area, he had these chickens and they were kind of his pets. And then when he went away to school, they kind of went rampant. Like they went wild and started making a ton of chickens. And now they're a thing. And there's chickens
like
walking
the
around.
Parrots.
Yeah. There's chicken, although it is very much like the Burbank parrots, except these chickens are walking around and they're, nobody does anything to them. Nobody, like, right. One walked right in front of my car and I was like, am I not supposed to hit a chicken? Because to me, a chicken, and they're all like, they're just freaking everywhere.
Hit it, throw it on the engine block, keep going.
Well, and it's also weird to be a comedian and all you look at when you show up to your gig is chickens crossing the road.
Yes.
Constantly, and so you're just constantly in this weird meta state.
Is this
of like,
where those Foster's chicken commercials come from?
Exactly. Maybe.
They're documentaries. They're not actually.
They're not just. It's not commercials. So anyway, I get there and I talk to the people of the show and I said, comedians have to always talk about the chickens when they come here. And they said, yes, they do. And they said, the people love it. I go, really? They go, oh my gosh. I said, but what aren't comedians doing mostly the same jokes? They said, yes, but at the crowds. Always love it. So I said, all right, gloves are off.
Right.
So I went out there and I said, hey, I go, it's really nice to be here. I said, you could tell that you guys have a lot of money and you're doing well for yourselves because you have food just walking around and you think it's cute.
Right.
And then they go, ah, I said, if you went to like the Mexican neighborhood, I didn't say that word, but I said the barrio or whatever, so I could do my cholo impression like they have. Well, I had to make it local in Northern California. Here in Southern California, everybody knows what a cholo looks like.
Sure.
But in Northern California, not as prevalent, so I said, I go, hey, Chewy, look at that chicken as you're walking around. I say, and they all start laughing. I go, look at him all puffing up his chest, man. He's so cocky, bro. That pollo is loco, I say. And they ate it up. And then it turned into me doing
I was
about,
hoping, what? By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was hoping that whoever was telling you that was pulling your legs and you just get crickets.
Yeah.
Just it's death for them to hear the chicken jokes.
I don't know what I do to you that makes you want me to fail so bad.
I'm always looking for a twist. That's all.
So anyway, so I ended up doing of my hour set, half an hour on chicken material.
The chicken
30 minutes of chicken material. Like, I would step away from it, and then something would happen.
Yeah.
At one point, there was a chicken fight in a tree above a car. And this is what I love about stupid white people. There's
oh
a chicken
God.
Fight above a Camry, a brand new Camry. And I said, I played lots of theaters. I'm kind of a big deal. For whatever reason, I got an applause break.
Should have walked off.
I know, right? I said, thank you. That's all. I peaked. You don't know. It was pretty early on the show. And so I said, most theaters, you do a show, they'll have somebody come out and they'll say, if you have a blue Toyota Corolla, your lights are on, license plate 5ZEB,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
Well, this one is the only one where if you have a blue Toyota Corolla, license plate 5ZEB, your chickens have turned it into a house and it now belongs to the city. Because they were literally like scratching the hell out of the thing. I go,
right.
I go, you guys have to have like chicken clauses in your insurance, right? And this random drunk chick goes, hell yeah! Screams at the top of her lungs. And I said, "You crazy bitch." And then they went, "Oh." I go, "No, I'm not saying it to mean." I go, "Who celebrates the fact that chickens can scratch the crap out of their cars?" Like, "Geico, bitches." And then they started laughing again. And it was very interesting because I would tell something and there was a line where you could go too far.
Yeah.
You don't talk about harming the chickens.
Oh.
Like, I made a joke about how could you have a barbecue this summer and be sitting there eating a chicken and then a chicken comes up and is just looking at you while you're eating a chicken. You're like, I go, "Does that make you feel uncomfortable?" But I made an Egg McMuffin joke and some people were laughing and some people were groaning, which I thought was freaking hilarious. I was like, how is it that I made a borderline, if not definitely racist joke about Rancho Cordova, which is like a Mexican part of Sacramento.
Sure.
And now it's doing my cholo impression. That's hilarious.
Right.
Draw a line at the chickens.
I can explain it to you.
I said, that's how you know you guys are white Republicans.
Well, yours is funnier, but you know how they have chickens wandering around? I think that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Mexicans wandering around. I think that's funny too.
Yeah, that's true. They're like, but they're,
anything those, that they recognize.
That's the thing. I think these people probably wouldn't even want them there, which is totally horrible. Like, chickens are fine. All they do is scratch up your car. They don't steal the stereo. Am I right, Nancy? I mean, come on. So that was everything that has been going on.
But only borderline racist.
Yes, exactly. That's them talking. That's not me. I didn't say that. I'm not a racist.
You're simply a reporter.
Yes, I'm just stating the facts.
By the way, I see on Facebook, not in the chat room, but that Andrew says that the nurses at the hospital are not fond of your frequent use of the word fuck. So apparently he has got it on a little transistor radio or something.
That's funny. I got a tweet. He's been on the show before. Let me see if it'll be easy. Every time I try to do this and think to do this, it always takes me forever. But it's interesting that it's not until recently, and I don't know if there's something I'm doing differently or what, or maybe I just never noticed it. But Robin, who's a dad who's been on the show, he lives across the pond. He's in lovely old England, Michael Caine. He said, "Just have to do another shout out for at Dad Podcast again, parent or not. It's brilliant, funny, and a bit rude. Everything I aspire to be."
I think I've seen his tweets every once in a while. And I went, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Yeah, Andrew, please give my apologies to the nurses there and tell them that they can eat my butt and fuck off. All right. So this is something that we were talking about on the episode that will never reach the light of day, but possibly other than a phone call from Dean was probably the highlight of that. This was, I think, the most interesting thing that came out of it. And I wanted to bring it up again. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the average family of four throws away $1,500 worth of food every year. Here are six types of food and how you can make them last longer. So I'll just go through these real quickly because I think this is interesting and informative, although probably most of you already know this kind of garbage. Number one is onions. Keep them in the refrigerator in a paper bag, and they'll last more than 2 weeks. Hard cheese. This one I didn't know. Take it out of the plastic it came in and wrap it in parchment paper and tin foil. Parchment paper is the stuff you use for baking. It can last for months, and if it gets moldy, just cut away an inch of cheese around the moldy spot. Did you ever have to do that as a kid?
No.
No.
We couldn't afford hard cheese.
Yeah, just the soft cheese? Yeah. Cheese Whiz?
Brie.
That's funny. Because here's the thing. When you grow this, growing up with somebody who grows up poor,
yeah,
is the worst thing ever, I feel. Other than maybe being poor. Maybe it's an unfair statement to say worst thing ever.
Okay.
But my stepmom, my mom, she grew up just dirt poor. Like, she eats fish eyes, and that's like, yeah, steak. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Whatever everybody else doesn't eat. When we had Thanksgiving, she always eats the gizzards and the necks. And that's right, or she'll suck off the carcass like she's
Hang
some
on
kind
a second.
Of servant.
She did what to the carcass?
She sucks off the carcass.
Oh,
it's
wow.
a marinade. Don't judge.
Okay.
And so it's funny because we would have food that would go, like, if it had mold on it, and you're a kid, you don't want to eat it, but my mom would be the one, she just scrapes around it. Or if you get the bread, and it gets like a streak of mold along it, you see a scoop taken out of all the slices of bread.
I've done some creative work with moldy things before. I was making a joke about the cheese. Not even as a kid, even now I go, I'm going to have some toast. I'm going, am I? yes, I'm still going to have it because it's only there, you know, and then you do your
you
work.
You cut around it and then you
yeah,
do it?
Whatever, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I wouldn't. My Natalie one time made bacon for my parents, about a pound of it, and burnt the shit out of it.
Ooh.
And was like, she goes, well, I got to start over. Like, we had another pound of bacon in the fridge.
Yeah.
And so she was, and my parents were like, you're not going to throw that away. She goes, yeah. And so when we weren't working, she threw it away. My parents started picking it up and eating it out of the trash.
Oh, well. I think we now
they
have
hate the idea of wasted food.
I understand, and what I love about this so far, you've only talked about two things, and this person has moldy cheese and onions.
Yeah.
This is what they're going. I think you may be keeping that cheese too long.
Probably. Well, months.
Months.
Is months. They'll last 10 times.
Buy less cheese.
This is for apples. They'll last 10 times longer if you keep them in the coldest, most humid part of your fridge. That's usually the bottom drawer. Potatoes, don't throw them away just because they grow sprouts. Just break the sprouts off. Potatoes actually tend to be sweeter after sprouts have grown on them, which I didn't know. My mom will cut out just the whole thing. Like, she just hooks
right,
them out.
Right, right.
Lettuce, put it in a plastic bag, poke about 10 holes in it, and it should last for 4 times longer. Milk and dairy, bring a cooler or an insulated bag with you when you go shopping, or just make it the last thing you put in your shopping cart. The shelf life of dairy products goes way down if they're exposed to heat, even if it's just for an hour. Now, the other reason why I brought this up, too, is because my wife, she did grocery shopping because I'm working, so now she has to become more domesticated. And now that I'm a professional broadcaster.
Sure.
And by that, I mean I man the ones and twos and say words every now and then.
Right.
Oh, God, I got to talk about that, too. That is hilarious to me. But anyway, so she goes to the store, and then she goes, I got panicked when I went to the store and spent, mind you, she went to the store grocery shopping one time, and she goes, I spent $260.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I said, and then she looks at me like now we're going to have a kindred spirit moment.
And that was with coupons.
No, that was not.
Oh, no.
Oh,
okay.
God. That's the other thing. It's like, I go, two, like, she thought I was going to go, right? It's hard. But I go, $260 fucking dollars. And
right.
She goes, yeah. And I see a fridge full of food. But here's the problem with my wife. My wife will go and get a bunch of food, but I don't know what's wrong with her brain that she has a switch that goes off that then all of a sudden she goes, I don't want that. Like, she goes to the grocery store and buys all this shit and has all these grandiose ideas of how I'm like, there's a bowl of cilantro, just sit like a gigantic fucking bowl of cilantro.
Yeah.
Why we can't just, I feel like we should be able to just get a pinch of, because she's making guacamole. So in order to make guacamole, of which I guess she maybe uses, I don't know, a tablespoon, we have to have a 3-inch tall Tupperware vat of cilantro in the house. And so she goes through all this stuff, and I said, here's the thing. I go, but then you don't eat it, man. I said, here's how I work. I go to the grocery store and spend $80, and then we eat it all.
Yeah, right.
That's how I do it. She goes, and then I love, she always does the thing. I don't know if anybody else either has their husband, whoever ends up doing this. It has to be the other person, or you're the person in the relationship. But I think there's one of each of you in every relationship. That's my theory. She also does the thing where she's like, well, I got toilet paper and paper towels. She said those words to me. $260. I go, $265. She goes, no, I got toilet paper and paper towels.
Right.
Like, oh, because that's $80 and $86 individually. What the fuck are you talking about? And then soap. She also likes to say, like, soap is a high commodity in the grocery store world.
Right, right.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so we have a whole thing, and then it's all going
to
rot.
The same sort of thing happens with Luna is, you know, I'll go to Target and I used to count it and keep track, and I stopped doing that. I'm like, life's too short.
Yeah.
While I was shopping, and I got very good at getting within, you know, pennies of my total. But I stopped doing that, but I do notice that it's probably 30% higher if she walks into the place with me. She just buys
presents.
Yeah.
Like, just a disturbance in the force. I love that.
It's just automatic.
She's not even really, like, I like the way you said that. It's like she's not even picking stuff. She just is adjacent. Like, she's got some kind of weird cooler vibe. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So
that's hilarious.
It sounds familiar. Yeah.
Well, in the category, I always like it when we find these fun stories. And this is in this example, sometimes I think, like, remember the lady who beat the guy with the VCR?
Yes.
I know that I looked down my nose at her because she rode a bus, but I've been thinking about her much longer than I probably should have. And my new opinion of her is that I feel like she has a passion for life that I don't have.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? I've never been so... I've never been so immersed in my home entertainment to be able to want to take it with me.
Right.
Just to not obviously to see it.
Or so committed to the earth that you're willing to recycle things in imaginative ways.
Yeah. Or experience mass transit. You know what I mean? She's better than me on all ways. I think that's a given. And here's another guy. And I look forward to being old. Do you look forward to being old, Paco?
Be careful.
What do you mean?
Just stop.
What?
I'm already there.
You're not there.
These are the things.
You turned 50, fuckwad. That's not old. People are living to be like 90 years old. You're middle-aged, asswipe.
I had to take a nap 45 minutes after I got up.
You didn't have to. You could have come at a Diet Coke.
Right.
Or gone to bed like an old person does at 7 o'clock.
If I had it.
And then wake up at 5:30. Yeah, so you're not old. What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't know. 1.
Yeah, that's not old. That's young. This is. You know what my favorite part of this? I don't know if the irony of this is lost on you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But remember when we were talking about your younger son and how you were having issues with him staying up and then not being able to get up on time?
Yeah.
And then you're like, we're going to help you through this? And then it's like, apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
No, not at all. Not at all.
By the way, speaking of which,
yes.
Natalie had a dually moment recently.
Uh-oh. I'm not even sure I know what that means.
She was walking into the kitchen and happened to look out the window and seeing you leave at 10 o'clock. Uh-oh, we have child in the room. Child in the room. Kids are back from Grandpa and Vavaz. Yes, son?
I'm thirsty.
You're thirsty? Where is your grandfather?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know where Grandpa is?
No.
Did he leave?
I think so.
Okay, well, use a cup in the bathroom and get a glass of water for me, okay? I'm almost done. Dad's got about another half hour, and then I'll be done. All right, I love you. Hilarious. I don't know. Gotta love my dad. oh, my God. No wonder it's so warm in here. Jesus. So I had it set to 69, my brother. What was I saying? I was saying old.
That she had a... No, you were saying she had a dually moment. Thank you.
So she walks into the kitchen to get a glass of water. She looks out the window, and she goes... Where is he going at 10 o'clock? Out of the driveway. And it made me laugh. Oh, so much harder than it should have. So getting back to getting old. You're not old, number one. Mm. Number two, I think that when we're both old, I look forward to, I had this realization that it's like we're going to grow up being people who are well aware of technology. And yet for some reason, we still can't know how technology works when you get old. Like everybody who's our age treats old people like you just become stupid, which doesn't make any sense. I feel like you have to be the same person, but just move a little slower or give a little less shit or... Just like all babies and toddlers know to put their fingers underneath the bathroom door, like I talk about in my stand-up act, that's how they talk to you. They always have to do that. And everybody's seen that, even though we're strangers.
Right.
And I joke that it's like they had a meeting in heaven before they got here and said, let's do some creepy shit. I think that there's also a consensus that old people have when you get your AARP card. I don't know. Don't tell me if it's like the skulls. Okay. I don't want to know.
Okay.
Don't ruin the surprise for me. But it's like, okay, now begins the process where you have to slowly, and like you get extra AARP points. The more subtle you are with your slow descent into senildom. Well, this guy really nailed it on the head here. He's 81 years old, and he was arrested for what? Did you see the headline when I had on my computer?
No, I didn't.
What do you think? If you're 81 years old, imagine what would be the worst thing you could think of to get arrested for, Paco? You're 81 years old. You're like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Sorry to the nurses. What would you get arrested for? This is in Connecticut.
Oh, no,
Connecticut is a different country. It's utopic. I believe everybody should want to live in Connecticut.
I was going to say public elimination is what I was going to say, but
very, very close. You're pretty dead on.
Okay, well,
he was humping a bush, and not the one that we all were like, "Oh, that's a fun turn of phrase
for
a headline."
If I can still hump a bush when I'm 81,
no,
okay.
But that's what I find weirdly about this is that he could, I guess, still get it up.
Yeah,
but he was actually humping an actual shrub.
Wow.
Yeah, actual shrub. Now, I'm always curious about this stuff because I think that as long as you're not hurting anybody, if it's a victimless crime, yes. You know what I mean?
Well,
now, I'm sure
was...
that there's some kind of group that is like pro plants, shrubs, or people too, right. That kind of stuff.
Look at the way it was dressed.
He was asking for it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, I imagine
bent
that,
over.
I imagine the same thing you did, where it's like, if you have a gardener, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're talking to Ricardo and you're explaining to him,
yeah.
I wanted to do, he goes, I can do a circle. No. I need a kind of a circle, but more of an oval
right,
is what I'm looking
right.
for.
And if you get two peaches. Just think of a peach.
And what I'd like is, so just to look like a vulva. I just wanted to look like a vulva. A Volvo? No, a vulva.
Right.
Let me get a picture. Honey,
right.
Come here.
Oh, my God.
Show Ricardo what we want the bush to look like.
Oh, that.
Yeah. Nicely done. Where's my rim shot? Do I still have that? Or did I replace it? I can't find it. All right. Well, the moment's passed. Good job, Justin. Why did I get rid of it? Oh, there it is. So, anyway.
So, you were talking about getting old?
Yes, exactly. This is why I'm doing it myself. So he's humping his bush. Now, here's the thing that I find really interesting about this story is that he is not humping his bush in the front yard. He's not humping a bush outside of Starbucks or your local Piggly Wiggly.
Okay.
Piggly
Wiggly would be good.
I'm a professional.
Yes.
And he's humping it in his backyard. Now, I understand in Connecticut they don't have fences, but the only reason he was arrested is because his neighbor saw him humping said bush and had the presence of mind to tape it. And then was evidently so offended that they had to call the authorities for humping a bush.
Yeah, that's, first of all, none of your fucking business. It's my yard and my bush.
Yeah. It's also like, again, the passion of life that this gentleman has.
Yes.
Because I've never, other than probably my wife.
Yes.
There are very few, let's take ladies out of it. Let's make it even easier.
Yes.
There are very few. I would almost go as far as to say none.
Yes.
There are no inanimate objects that I've looked at and go, I bet
right.
I could just go to town on that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what you have to figure.
Uh-huh.
He had run his course with things inside the house. And there's nothing like getting a little strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got to...
Yeah.
He walking by the window. He had a dually moment. Oh, hey.
Yeah, the jar of mayonnaise had become old hat to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what they say, for every hot jar of mayonnaise, there's a guy who's tired of banging it.
He leaned against the washing machine as many times as he could.
For every hot Maytag, there's a guy who's tired of banging it.
Now, I have a few more comments I want to get to about this particular story. One is, I think if you'd had this story during that horrible, horrible show we did, you could have saved it.
I could have.
That would have been a... You're going to have more like this.
It didn't happen then. I didn't have it then.
Well,
it happened a couple days ago.
Let me know. I'll go out and hump something. Okay. We can...
That would be awesome.
Do some show content.
We'd be like other... We'd just become like the news and we make up our own news.
Exactly.
I become the Brian Williams of podcasting.
Right.
I like
what
that.
What if it had been his neighbor's bush? That would have been good. He climbed over
a
fence.
To me, I think then you could get arrested.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's in the Bible. You don't covet thy neighbor's bush.
No,
that's
exactly.
Just a given.
Exactly.
Very blasphemous, and I apologize.
That's all right. when you started this, you were saying about technology. So part of my brain was thinking that there was technology wasn't.
I was just saying getting old and that there's a technological aspect, but and then you become also, I don't care about whatever happens.
Gotcha, that's gotcha. Well, on the getting old and technological aspect part of it, I used to make fun of my folks. This is going back 25 or 30 years when I was, you know, a young man myself in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd call me. I'd go over to their house and the VCR would blink at 12 o'clock and I'd fix that. And I'd come back 3 weeks later and be blinking. They had to unplug it. You know, I don't know. They could never get that right.
Would they complain? Or because maybe they just like not knowing the time. Because I feel like when you get old, the time is the enemy. And you're just constantly torturing them and they're just being nice.
At that point, my dad would have been in his early 60s probably. So, I mean, he wasn't probably counting time. But he was.
By your definition, he's already really fucking old. If you're old
that's
at 50,
true. Well,
he's got a foot in the grave at 60.
Well, and he's certainly.
Now he's knee deep now.
Yeah, right. So I used to make fun of them, not to their faces, but what I used to say about them was that they, if the light switch didn't have an off label on it, they'd be calling me over to help with that too. Just because they seem to have no, you know, any kind of sense. I mean, he operates a telephone, but it certainly the computer is way beyond him at this point. anyway, I used to have a good chuckle about that to myself for quite some time, but then I started to feel myself sliding into that hole. In that, the first, I think the early warning sign was I read the Entertainment Weekly magazine, I've been looking at it for years, and they started changing the format, so the pictures would be different, and the font would be different, and the order would be different, and I would find it very difficult to get through the new, and then it would take me a month or two of four issues a month to go, okay, now I finally am okay with this new format, and then they'd change it again. And it was very, very hard on me, and I said, this is not a good sign. And similarly, like websites, sometimes I go on a website, and if it's not laid out like a – it just looks insane to me with pictures and words, and there it's just too busy, too much. And then just the internet in general, I can tell that my kids know way more about navigating and going here and going there and what to do, and I'm just going, oh, man, I can't keep up, and I can – very well see myself being in 10 short years the same sad specimen that my own father was.
So many things about this conversation are making me so happy.
Oh, please.
Number one, the fact that you've had a nap and yet you still look exhausted. And the fact that you're exhausted talking about how hard it is for you to keep up with Entertainment Weekly magazine. It's a weekly magazine that you can barely keep up with.
Oh, I don't even look at it anymore.
And then also, how there is only just ISIS that wants to destroy this country when the fact that you and I, in a mere 40 minutes, can yes. complain about how hard it is to have chickens roaming around
sure.
and guys humping bushes, and you're like, I can't even keep up with the magazine I like to read.
Right. Oh, and Luna goes, the thing with that magazine, I start on page one, and I just read straight through the end. I skip over stuff if it's a movie I'm really interested in. I don't want it to be spoiled. All she ever does is leaf through it when it first arrives and looks at the pictures.
Yeah.
And it makes me nuts.
Why?
That she never reads it, that she just sort of blasts through it. That's not you're not doing anything with it. You just might as well look out the window. It doesn't make any sense. I hate the way she looks at that magazine. But more importantly, she'll always call me in. On the last page, there's like a photo roundup. She'll go, she'll point out stuff. I'm like, that's telling me the end.
Well, it's not a novel, Paco.
You're ruining the end of it. I look forward to getting to that point.
I love how no matter who you marry, they're always wired to be a person who makes you angry. Like,
right, yeah,
no
seriously.
Matter what it, like, no matter how mundane it may seem, like there are people listening right. to this who are like, so she shows you the last page, but there are things that I have that Natalie does, like buys $260 worth of groceries and then watches it slowly become a science experiment for a fourth grader over the few coming days.
Apropos of almost nothing, Luna, when we first started going out, you know, we would exchange books. Oh, here's a book I read. Enjoy that. And she'd give me like a Stephen King book or some sort of book, whatever it was. And then I'd have it for a week or two, and she'd go, are you enjoying the book? I say, I'm really enjoying it, because I was reading. I'd be reading on the subway or whatever it was. And she'd go, do you get to the part where they cut off the baby's head? I go, nope, haven't gotten there yet.
Well, let me know when you do.
Yeah.
Because then I'll tell you the next part.
Right. Never talk to me about that again.
Well, on a similar theme here, this is interesting. 73% of parents lie to make themselves seem cooler. I don't know that I've ever done this. And so I'm wondering if this is a conscious thing. Have you ever caught yourself lying? About, like, so it says, if your parents told you they went to Woodstock, there's a good chance they're lying. Just like you lie to your kids and say you went to Woodstock 99, never has Limp Bizkit rocked harder. A new survey found 73% of parents lie about their past to make themselves seem cooler. Here are the top 10 things they lie about. Number 10, the arts and cultural stuff they were into. I don't think this is going to apply to you and I. Fair to say?
It's fair to say, because I don't think there is a lie I could tell that would make me look cool.
Yeah, the technology they owned or used, their education, friendships, adventurous experiences and things they did, their relationships and love life. I could not lie about that. There's nothing there. The sports they played and how good they were at them. The fashion, I can only tell this time I got an interception in Pop Warner football so many times.
Right.
But that's, I couldn't imagine the fashion sense they had, the music they liked, the social life, and the events they went to. Those are the top 10. But,
well,
how sad is that?
This is
also from England. So
here's
maybe
my
that's
point.
What they do there.
Me telling my kids that I listened to a lot of Billy Joel when I was a teenager is not going to make me seem cooler.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, or maybe it's because I wonder if you. have to be cool when you were a kid. Maybe these are people who peak. You know the people that peak in high school?
Yes.
Where it's like they think that is the time of their lives. I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. But that's like, oh, that was when everything was awesome and great, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's who it has, because they think it's important to be cool. I don't know. But here's something that I think we could definitely get behind. The top 10 things parents do that embarrass their kids. This is what I'm excited for. My kids are pretty hard to embarrass right now, and it seems like a traumatic. But when they're teenagers, they deserve it. And I'm looking
much
forward to this.
Much more sensitive as teenagers. And it won't even matter if you're in public or not. They just don't even want it in the house.
I love it. Yeah. But it'll be public. I will do some shaming, especially if you piss me off. Like a kid mouths off to me when I'm picking up at school. Oh, my gosh. It'll be lights out for you, asshole. No matter how cool you parents out there know you are, it's impossible for you not to embarrass your kids, which in a way is kind of freeing. So go ahead and do the chicken dance at their next party. A new survey found that the top things parents do that embarrass their kids, check them out. Number one is lying about their past. No, it's not true. Getting drunk. Who gets drunk with their kids, though? Is that a thing now?
I think it is.
I'm supposed to get drunk with my kids? I'll do it after the show. Talking about sex. Oh, I'd love to have the sex talk in front of their friends. Not being able to figure out modern technology. Fuck you, kid. If that's you, though. Sorry, nurses. Trying to connect with them on social media. Now, that is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to come up with fake profiles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, you know, a hot 22-year-old chick so I can know the inner workings of each of their lives on social media.
Yes, but it won't be embarrassing to them until they know it's you.
Oh, that's what I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until they're 21. When they come out of the cocoon of stupidity, right. I'm like, hey, do you remember Jezebel from Turkey? Yeah, hi. That was me. No, shut your face. Yeah, how do you think I know about her birthmark just above her pubic bone? You son of a bitch. That
yes,
kind of stuff will be
that's going to be lovely because your kids will have jerked off to you so many times.
That's how I really drive home the trauma. That's my Thelma and Louise off the cliff. That is me going, good night, everybody. Right. That's my closer. That's the last moment I have to traumatize them is when they are 21 and out of my house and about to embark on their own lives. Can you imagine? This happened recently. I was talking to my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And we were joking around about how people – and you can do the same thing, and people who are listening obviously can do the same thing. But they like to talk about how teenagers are harder than toddlers. And I think that they are not harder. I think that they are different in that the things that you deal with teenagers are different. But there's a level of – like what I said, there's a level of pompousness that comes with a teenager, like entitlement that I feel like is easy for me to handle. Whereas with a toddler, it's kind of ignorance, which is hard to kind of go after. But she was talking about how she has a son who he has a certain kind of shirt that he likes, has to, you know, be $50 shirts that he has to have for school and all these things. And she goes, no, he's always been very particular. And then she says that it's like a form of OCD where she goes, like she said, if he had a broken cookie, he wouldn't eat it. And I said, when he was younger. So she's like, this has been his whole life. I go, well, that's just a kid. And she goes, no. She goes, no, he would not eat a broken cookie. I go, yeah. So my kids have said, I don't want to eat this. It's broken. I said, oh, sounds like you don't want a cookie that bad. Right. And guess what? That cookie all of a sudden becomes fucking delicious. Sorry, nurses. And so we're doing this round robin where she's like, no. And then she said the same thing. She goes, well, teenagers are harder. And I said, I don't think so. And she goes, well, you'll see. And I said, I'll tell you what, I will gladly eat my words if you are willing to eat yours. If it works out for me, because I'm not as nice to my kids as you are to yours. Because I go, let's go back to the cookie example. What would happen when he said he wouldn't eat the broken cookie? What would you do? And then she wouldn't answer, and her daughter was there. And she goes, yeah, what would you do, Mom? And she goes, what do you mean? She goes, would you give him another cookie? She goes, well, yeah, I'm sure most of the time.
Right.
I said, so you don't really know if he wouldn't eat a broken cookie because you always just gave him a new cookie.
Right.
I said, but if you just stop it right there, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Is this lady carrying a little extra weight?
From a lot of broken cookies, yeah, I would I'm imagine. Thinking. I don't know.
I've seen a couple of women wandering around over here lately, and I think – I had nowhere where the broken cookies
I don't know which ones you're referring to, but I am not going to go there.
Okay.
But I am going to go to the fact that when I said, you're going to find, just like you found, when getting Diego the suit, all of a sudden it's like, I really like this $700 suit. But when he's footing the bill, all of a sudden that $300 one will do. That'll do just fine.
Right. What I love about that whole story, excuse me, is that you are telling the woman who's already raising the teenagers, yes, or long since raised the teenagers.
Yes, this is her final teenager.
Yeah. You're telling her business.
Yes.
You're saying, I, who have never done it, yep, know exactly what it is,
yep,
and you don't.
And here's the thing. I believe that what I said is true, and I will stand by my words, and yeah, either way, I win. Because if I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, it becomes hilarious to everybody who has teenagers now, and is like, oh, see, you dumb motherfucker. Like, sorry, nurses. And but I firmly believe, I listen, I am counting the days. I only hope that Jacob or Jack will look at me with some kind of cocky thing while I'm paying for a cell phone and go, oh, guess so. Somebody, how's that thing turning on?
Right,
that
right.
Sounds like I pay for the power. I pay for the connection. And I love that shit. My father did it to me, and I hated him for it then.
Yes.
I appreciate it now, and it's hilarious now.
And I will be available to you,
uh-huh,
when your kids don't turn the same corner you did and come back.
Oh, they will. They absolutely. They're even better than me now. They already are, both of them, better kids than I was when I was a kid, because I'm a better father than my father. No, that's not true. That's horrible. Let's finish up these embarrassing things. Telling embarrassing stories, cleaning up after them in public. Oh, cleaning up after the kids.
I can't even remember what this topic is.
It's embarrassing things that parents do.
All right, all right.
For their kids. Wearing clothes that aren't appropriate for your age. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so glad I got to make a mental note of this. That would be a fun way to torture a teenager. Matching outfits. Oh
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Or even just listen. Put on some sandals and some dark socks, and you'll be embarrassing the shit out of everybody.
Well, I like that move, but I feel like it's more personal. You know what I mean? Like, and it's a fun joke too, to be,
yeah,
able to. If my kid, when I, you know, take him to, I feel like a freshman year in high school is too much. So 8th grade or maybe sophomore year.
Yeah.
But sending him off to school with the whatever new clothes that he got, and then when I pick him up wearing the exact same outfit.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
Maybe adding a puka shell choker to the mix or something.
Yes.
Having highlights put in my piercing.
I not exactly the same, because this is him dressing appropriately, but I've had business meetings where I met my father at the place and he's wearing bedroom slippers and, yes, pajamas.
Yes.
Because the pants are the pants he sleeps in. I know those are your pants that you sleep in, son. You rolled out of bed and drove over here.
Did you just call your father son?
I did,
that's
call him,
awesome,
that. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Moms, this can help you. That, listen, if you got a daughter who's dressing a little risque, too, yeah, risque, get the same outfit, throw it on your ass, and see her go,
yeah,
this is what you look like.
Right.
See how cool it makes. It,
yeah.
It somehow taints the cool of it. It's,
absolutely,
like somebody else having sex in your
bed.
Well,
it's as soon as... adult culture adopts any youthful jargon, or, you know, once you start seeing old ladies do that, this doing skateboard tricks in commercials,
yes,
kids don't want to do skateboard tricks anymore.
This is a quick one. Women are more likely to ask for what they want during sex than men. And I think this is kind of self-explanatory. I imagine a lot of guys don't make special requests during sex because, frankly, they're so surprised and happy to be getting it on,
yeah,
at all. They don't want to screw it up, which I think is definitely true. I think that also the fact, like I've said on the show before.
You mean like, bring me a sandwich, that kind of request?
Yes, while this is happening. I would be on board for that, too. Like,
yeah,
I would be on,
yeah,
board. It would be kind of hard to concentrate on the sex because I'd be enjoying the sandwich so much. But
right.
I've said it where it's like guys can't really ask for the things that they're into.
Right.
So it's easier if you're the wife and you go, listen, I would like to be able to do this, because no matter what your creepiness level is, it,
yes,
is still far short of whatever he can come up in his brain. New survey found that 71% of people ask for what they want during sex. And interestingly enough, women are more likely to do it than men. 73% of women speak up when they want something specific versus 68% of men. And let me just say, I do a lot, I think. I don't,
yeah,
know. I think that it's hard for me to figure out, to be honest. But I think the women, obviously the women that listen to the show, not only smoking hot, as I've said before.
Yes, absolutely.
They also are women who get it. But they are, and I'm not it. That's,
yeah,
not the it I'm talking about. They,
yeah,
just get it in the big picture of life.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like they're a little sexual, like, minxes.
Yeah.
You know right. what I mean? So I throw this out there.
Yeah.
But I feel like, much like a guy asking for what I want, I'm speaking out of turn. I might be saying something right. that is taboo. But right. let me just say this to the ladies in case there is, on the off chance, maybe a new mom
yeah.
who's listening. In fact, Shively, make sure your girlfriend's hearing this part. In 6 weeks.
And your daughter.
Oh, please, no, no. Cover earmuffs for the baby. Send her to the nursery, like everybody said. No, that I think you should feel free to say, hey, this is what I want. Because it's a weird thing as a guy, I think, that you don't like. Listen, all we want to do is do whatever we can get to make you make crazy, wild noises and writhe around like an animal. Like
right.
that would be.
Right.
Because it's, you know what I mean? We don't need you to, you know, I don't need to hang you from the ceiling or anything weird like that. If right. you're a man who's just got a woman just purring like a cat,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Then mm-hmm. it is, you know what I mean? You get her just going, just like a nice bush will do when you're just going to town on it in your bathrobe in your backyard in Connecticut.
Yeah.
No, if you get then, and I don't know if it takes away from it for you to kind of give us some cliff notes into what you're into or what your thing is. Because there is, mm-hmm. I feel like most often than not, there's a lot of guessing and checking. That's. I feel like that's right, what everybody's right. doing, but maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. According to the survey, women are more likely. I'm just saying, let it out, ladies. Let it. Tell them once or twice. Go, I really like it when you do this.
Right. Is it better like this?
And then fellas who like also this? Listen, if you're in a relationship, yeah. don't always do that. You know what I mean? Throw some curveballs, I bet. Like, make it seem like you're going to do that, and then don't. And then she's like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Like the dishes. No, yeah. I don't think, maybe no, I'm not understanding thing. This.
Okay. I think, here's the thing. If we really domesticate this, I think there's a lot of ladies who will get turned on by a dude who does dishes.
Well, it could be.
I think my wife got really aroused just by me introducing the best, worst part of your day with the kids. Like, just doing a very family, like, after school special family moment
right.
at the dinner table. Right. That really got her blood flowing. then while we're on this subject, two types of lingerie guys like most. We've got the results of a new survey on men's favorite types of lingerie based on how it looks on women, not themselves. Duh. I love it when they put stupid jokes in here. Their favorite type of bra is the push-up bra. I don't think I like push-up bra. That's followed by a regular bra, a bustier type bra, or a strapless bra. I could go for a strapless bra.
You know, I really like the absent bra.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. You know, but here's the thing, and I think this is a domesticated guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fellas, let me know if I'm wrong on this. I think a sports bra is really, really hot. I could get going for a sports bra. There's something about you looking good without trying to, like, look good.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I think is, I don't know, that really gets me going. Men's favorite type of women's underwear is the thong, which I think is probably true, but not for the reasons that it sucks because most women I think are very uncomfortable in thong. That's the vibe I get. But I like that I say that. Like I do a lot of talking. I wrote these surveys. No, I talk about this on the road, and you have conversations with people. And I think most women, they don't like the thong underwear. But here's the thing: we don't like it because it's thong underwear. We like or that it's up your ass or anything. We just like it because there's more ass to see, and there's even less coverage in the front end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because evidently we're into banging bushes up until our 80s. Followed by the regular briefs. I don't know what that means. But I could tell you this. Are you okay? You
look
like you're about to die. Is this conversation make you want to throw up? I wish you could see his face. I don't. Are you falling asleep or are you getting sick to your stomach? Are you lightheaded?
No,
I'm
fine. I'm fine. Sorry.
Are you sure? Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying. I'm lying to make myself seem cool.
I wish you could put the photo of your face on your Instagram because he looked like he was just like, if I didn't know that he hadn't been drinking already, like you look like your mid drunk face, like But I think the briefs are this new thing, and I don't know if it's homoerotic, but I could tell you that I'm on board.
No, explain the briefs. What's the category again? The overall.
This is
category?
Underwear, but so there's regular briefs, is what they call them, and I think that these are the ones. You know how they have those styles of underwear that look like
not
boxer briefs, but the they look like our
boy
briefs, tidy whities.
Yeah,
boy shorts. That's different. There's also ones that look like they're regular kind of underwear, but they have a fly in them almost.
Yeah,
the tidy whities that guys wear.
Yes,
I'm kind of into that. And I think it's the same reason why guys like chicks, if you wear nothing but one of our button-up shirts in the morning, that's a little bit of all right, too. Boy shorts or bikini briefs came in next. That's my fave. Boy shorts also there. I could give or take those. That doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and finally,
I like those.
Paco's favorite, no underwear.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Since no underwear only got 4% of the vote, we have to assume that means 96% of men prefer a woman actually wearing underwear. Maybe they like the idea of it coming off. I don't know. The survey also found 12% of men think a push-up bra is false advertising. Around 90% of men vastly underestimate how much nice lingerie costs, and 8% would end things with a woman if she didn't wear underwear he liked. That's interesting. That's a nice sound to take.
Sorry.
Would you just take a picture of the screen or yourself?
Is that a close approximation?
That was not a close proximity, but it's a good cartoon version of it.
Okay, very good.
Let's see. Do we got to go? We got to wrap it. We got time, I think, for one more.
We do. I have a random thing to say, too.
Well, let's do your random thing, and then we'll end with another fun, stupid story from Omaha.
The random thing was, this is just very silly, but I
don't oversell it.
I was in Target every day. It doesn't matter. One of the many days I was in Target. And there was sort of sometimes you get a sense that there's multiple people in a group, that it's larger. So they were coming around the corner, and the very last one says, come on, mommy, we're going. The woman, the full-grown woman, says, come on, mommy, we're going. And I thought, God, that's weird that she would call her own mother mommy at that age. And then this 4-year-old, 5-year-old girl comes around the corner. And I know it happens. I just had never actually been standing there when they call
a baby mama?
When they call a baby mommy.
Yeah.
It's a little early to start with that.
You found that off-putting?
Yeah. Well, 10 years from now, she's going to be a real mommy if you don't stop doing that. She will eventually be a mommy.
Leave there's a southern version of this, which I think a lot of people find creepy. But the where when you get married, my grandfather did this with my grandma. He would call her mom. She'd call him dad. I kind of like that, but a lot of people
father
think,
is
yeah.
more like, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't do it with Natalie. Dear is mine, which I think is cute because now sometimes the boys started going through this real quick phase, which I nipped in the fucking bud real fast.
Yeah.
Where they started calling her dear, which I don't mind because they go, dear, come here, because that's what I call her.
Oh, yeah.
But then they started calling her Natalie. And I thought that's cute that she calls me Natalie. So I had to go to their room and go, listen to me. You don't call your mother Natalie or me Justin ever. Do you understand me?
Uh-huh.
And then Jacob was like, why not? I said, because I'm your father and she's your mother. And there's a certain amount of respect that comes with that. I said, we pay for everything.
Oh, no. Here we go again. Comes down to that.
And so you'll call me whatever I damn well please.
But I don't think it's that weird that the mother would refer to the father as,
in mom
that
or
way.
Dad.
They're still using the title.
Yeah.
Calling your daughter mommy is very confusing. I can't imagine. I don't know what message that's sending.
Yeah, because I don't think they do the same with the sons.
I don't so.
They
don't
say,
so
Poppy,
either.
Come here. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Largely they don't, yeah. I don't think.
I don't know. I don't. We've never done that. All right. Well,
when we say they, let's just be clear.
Is this a Latin thing, though? Isn't that what you're saying?
I think it is.
It's a predominantly.
No,
it's a cultural.
Anytime you identify anything, it's coming from a particular culture rather than another culture, whether it's true or not. You're being racist.
Nope. No, it's true. That is a truth. They call their little girls mom, and black people have an extra muscle in their calf. That's just scientific fact.
Okay. Good.
Now, have you, this is an open-ended question that I think we all know the answer for all guys, but you're here for me to converse with, I'm going to put the burden on you. Have you ever been turned down for sex in your life, dear Paco?
What, today?
Exactly.
Yes, my answer is yes,
now,
I have.
How have you ever been, and bear with me.
There was a Times Street hooker that said no to me. Times Square. I fucked it up. Go back to bed.
Have you ever been, what's the most upset you've been? I mean, I feel like most of us feel like kind of rejected a little bit, and that stings a little. But have you ever been moved to anger because you've been turned down by sex?
No.
Right? Never had in the realm of being jealous of their passion, this gentleman here his name is Gilberto Garcia of Omaha, Nebraska, 36 years old, the same age as me. And to be fair, he was drunk and he came home, tried to wake up his wife to have sex with him. She turned him down and went back to sleep. So what do you think he did?
Did he hump a bush?
No, I wish he did because that would be awesome and we'd be and stay frosty. He set the house on fire.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, she woke up when she smelled smoke and found Gilberto in their closet setting her clothes on fire. So she got there. Oh, what an asshole. She got their three children out safely and called 911. Gilberto ran away, but the cops tracked him down 2 days later and arrested him for first-degree arson.
He's
facing 50 years in prison. The asshole. He's the asshole. I didn't know he had kids. I was kind of hoping that it was just him and his wife, and that I was like, that's kind of funny, because I like the idea that it's like, oh, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'll show you. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and I also like, I know he's drunk. I wish he was sober, because that would also make it better, because, like, I'm just saying, ladies, just have sex with us. Otherwise, we're going to burn your shit down. No, that I think it's funny because how does he think it's going to go after that? You know what I mean? It also reminds me of the guys.
He's trying to make her hot.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And when the guys are, the lady walks by and you get the guys who cackle, oh my God, fries come without shake. You know, like they yell at her.
Right.
Like how many women turn around and go, are you really? Like, would you like to find an alley or a bush somewhere where we can discuss these matters further?
Is there a dumpster we can dump behind?
Exactly. Like, it's just funny to me. Like, how do you think this is going to go down after the fact? I don't know. Well, that was our show. So send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Again, congratulations to Drew Shively on the arrival of his daughter. And all the best to you.
Very exciting.
You're going to be very, very tired. And
don't worry about it.
I know. Well, he's been listening for, I think, a year at least.
No, but I mean the child.
No. Here's the thing. I would say you could play this for your daughter because she can know how disgusting guys can be, and maybe it keeps her, she finds a better guy. I mean, you and I think we both would agree. You and I have pretty nice catches in the husband department. You know what I mean?
Hands down, if you're so great at raising your kids, just play this for them.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's definite. You should definitely do exactly what I do.
Right. But no, but actually playing the podcast becomes you raising their children.
Oh, so I become like the TV. I babysit them, you know.
Yes,
and all
you
that
become
stuff.
The surrogate parent.
I would like to do that. Maybe I come out with another podcast since I have so much time to even do this one. Right. What I'll do is I'll do another podcast that's just for, I won't curse.
Right.
But it'll just be a lot like maybe, I don't know, what's the attention span of a toddler?
Dude. Record a bunch of drops, phrases like, sounds like you need a job.
Right, that's what
I'm saying. And then they can just play the drops.
I wouldn't even half-ass it. I'll give them the same lecture I give my kids, and then you could like make that be the...
Birds and bees.
This is it. You know how you get a hypnotic subliminal message to quit smoking, you play at night?
Yeah.
I will record a 5-minute recording that you put in front of your kid for timeouts.
Oh.
Of just, you know, me saying the same crap that either you would say or what I say to my kid.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of like, listen, I know you think you're in charge around here, but you're not, because I pay the bills. And if you want to do what you want to do, get a job.
Yeah.
Get your own house. And because when your name's on the deed, that's when you can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
But until then, I'm the boss. I'm in charge. You don't call me Justin or by my name. You call me father and you show me some respect. Otherwise, I won't feed your ass. How you like that? Because I'm only required to feed you enough to keep you healthy. That is what is minimally required. I have to put nice clothes on you. I can give you clothes that I could put a bag on your ass.
You can feed them the broken cookie.
That's right. I will feed you a broken cookie and you'll eat that cookie. Otherwise, you're going to watch me eat it and you ain't going to get a cookie because that's how I roll.
Yes. I thought you meant you were going to have them play that while the kids are sleeping.
Both. I think you double down. Timeouts.
Yeah.
And then sleep. And then best case scenario, if they are so tired and that's usually when they get in trouble, you play that. Now it makes them sleepy because they're making it's like a Pavlovian response.
Right.
And they conk out for a nap. Make that a little bedtime ritual.
They fall asleep in self-defense.
It's the new version of Go the Fuck to Sleep. Sorry, nurses.
And the author of Go the Fuck to Sleep.
What's it say? Be the Disney collector from YouTube podcast version. I don't know what the Disney collector is. That porn star that opens up the Disney figures or whatever? They found out she was a porn star, and she's like the most popular YouTube channel, and all she does is open up Disney toys, and kids watch her.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't
want to? No.
You're old. You don't understand technology.
Exactly.
That's right. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Oh, also, I put this up here so I would remember. I was recently on another podcast. If any of you that are dads and also entrepreneurs, there's a podcast called Startup Dad HQ, and you can find it at startupdadhq.com, or you could do search for Startup Dad HQ. And I was on an episode that I think came out about a month ago, and I kept forgetting to mention it on this show. Very nice gentleman on that show, and had a great time talking to him. And he's got – so it's just a bunch of dads who are self-employed or built a company and blah, 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 and that stuff. So if that's something you would be interested in, definitely check that out. And I think that's it. So follow us on the Twitter, all of that stuff, and Call of Duty _call_of_Dooley if you want to see pictures during the show. And tell three people about the show, and Paco's going to talk about our Amazon banner.
Listen to me, kids. I want you to go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom, and there you're going to find an Amazon banner. And when you click on that banner, I have no idea what's going to happen. Please tell me what's going to happen. I imagine that it will take you to Amazon and you'll bookmark that site, whatever that means. And then when you return to Amazon to buy all your little things that you kids like to buy, a little money fairy will take it over to the gentleman who do the podcast you've just been listening to. It will mean the world to them and it won't cost you anything. Do it, please.
I think he fell asleep. We will be back this Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, of course, unless they change my my schedule on me. And then also, great author. You might have seen her on CBS This Morning talking to Charlie Rose and all those guys. It's a guest I landed for the Bill Carroll Show, who's now going to be on this podcast.
Exciting.
Yes.
Poaching.
Yes. Well, sort of. I'm the one who booked her on the Bill Carroll Show. Right. And then I selfishly also said, hey, you want to come on my podcast? Because I like what she talks about. She said she has a book called How to Raise an Adult that is coming out. The very interesting stuff that I think really addresses a lot of the insecurities that we all wrestle with today that some of us try to fight against. And like kind of her point is, and we'll go into more detail with it, but kind of her point is that there were a couple of highly publicized kidnapping stories in the 80s, and that out of that, it's kind of like a Freakonomics for parents. And that,
okay.
So what came out of that was everybody grew up kind of being hypersensitive to things like stranger danger and kidnapping and stuff like that. And so now it makes us very, very concerned and overly protective of our kids and all that stuff. So I'm excited to talk to her. That she can't do a Tuesday or a Friday, so we're going to do Wednesday the 12th. At 10 a.m. is the plan for that. And if that is, it ends up being just a recording that I do by myself, and then we'll tack it on something that you do, or if you're free, we'll figure that out. Don't know why I'm having a production meeting over the air. I am a professional.
Man, we got to get that, what's his name out, that interview. We got to circle that back in.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
As soon as I'm done doing the joke of whenever I say something inappropriate.
Once that's run its course.
But no, okay. You're right. I do need to throw that out there. Blah, blah, blah. Production meeting. Shut up, Justin.
Sorry.
On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Just Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, everybody.